come the first in its history to go into a fourth day. BBC News. Now on BBC Radio 4, the classic serial. Goodbye to Berlin, Christopher Isherwood's most famous book, became the inspiration for the film Cabaret and captures a crucial moment in pre-war history. Arriving in Berlin to write a novel, Christopher is enthralled by the vibrant city and its characters. But the rise of the Nazi Party brings sinister changes.
What good is in your head when no one else can read it?
But all books start in someone's head.
How will you remember everything from in your head?
It's not like that.
I don't think you are writing this book, Mr. Isherwood.
I am.
Well, then bring it next week.
It won't be ready.
Then I can't help you.
I didn't ask you to help me.
Fine, so let's go back to work.
Natalia's father owns Landau, the biggest shop in Berlin, near the Potsdamer Platz. Out of my league, of course. But I had a letter of introduction from a friend in Oxford. So I'm to teach her English. The family lives in a part of Berlin where rich Jewish people live, Grunwald. It's a mass of ugly and expensive mansions crammed together, a sort of millionaire slum. Natalia is young, perhaps 18 years old.
You will write about Berlin.
Will I indeed?
Yes. While you're not writing the book you came here to write, you can write about being here and not writing a book.
Like a diary?
Yes and no. Diary is private.
Do you write a diary?
I would not tell you if I would.
Did.
Excuse me?
It's did, not would.
Anyway, you can put me in your book.
Oh, thank you. I can interview you.
Why would you do that?
Because you're a type.
I'm not a type. I'm a person.
Of course. I'm sorry. You're a person.
Bitte ein Paket Butter.
Bitte sehr.
The corner shop.
Wird das alles sein?
Ja, danke.
Also, guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
I haven't been here that long, but already they hardly notice my foreign accent when I come in to ask for a packet of butter. I like the street where I live. Nollendorfstrasse. It's an interesting area. Quite unlike anything you'd find anywhere in England. Or anywhere in this country, come to think
Hello,
of
that. Hello, this is a Junge.
Hello.
Hallo, Liebling. Hallo, na komm.
No, thank you.
Komm noch rüber.
The whores stand on the corner opposite the shop. The regulars sit outside the bar drinking their beer.
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend. Guten Abend.
Today, I find myself wondering if Natalia's notion for a book will work. So then I can be like a camera. My voice is the lens. The shutter is open. And I'm just an observer. No part to play. With them, living quite intimately with some of them, but not one of them. That might work. I'll watch, listen, collect, store, and one day I will develop, print, fix it.
Jetzt bring doch endlich mal den Müll nach unten.
Komm, wir gehen jetzt. Kino fängt gleich an.
Ja, hallo.
Ja, der ist
So, here's a picture of me. I'm at number 17 with my key. Into the gloomy hallway.
Guten Abend, Frau Berghaus.
Greeting the dragon who guards the entrance as I go up the stairs to Fräulein Schroeder's front door. And now I'm in Fräulein Schroeder's large, dingy apartment on the first floor. She used to be well off, so she tells me.
Lina, my friends would say. You must be mad. How can you bear it, living with strangers and never taking a holiday? And I tell them, my lodgers are my guests. You see, Herr Ishiro, in those days, I could be choosy. I only took people who were well-educated and well-connected. People who are proper. Ah, like you, Herr Ishiro. Yeah, and they gave me presents.
Yes, well, it's high time I gave
them. Nein, Herr Ishiro, I don't mean that. No, you see that stain on the carpet? That was where Herr Nöske was sick after his birthday party. Yeah. His Herr Papa was a surgeon. He wanted his son to be a surgeon, too. Ach, yeah, what a charming young man he was. Yeah.
When he wasn't being sick. Anyway, so now, coming back from the Landauer house, I find...
Oh, there you are, Herr Ishiro. You've seen your new pupil?
Yes, Fräulein Schroeder. She seems a nice girl.
You must excuse me if I don't get up.
Shh! Listen. He's smashing all the furniture.
Her and Fräulein Meyer lying on their stomachs on the floor of the sitting room, their ears pressed to the ground. Fräulein Meyer has a bulldog jaw, enormous arms and string-coloured hair. She and Fräulein Schroeder pride themselves on their fortune-telling and consult each other at the beginning of each day. When will Fräulein Schroeder get the rent money? When will Fräulein Meyer get another engagement?
And the manager said to me, "Ihr Fritzi!" He called me Fritzi. Heaven must have sent you here. My leading lady has fallen ill, and here you are. Fräulein Meyer, he said. You must leave for Copenhagen immediately tonight.
She is a music hall yodlerin. One of the best. Also, Fräulein Schroeder tells me, in the whole of Germany.
Boom! Oh, ha, ha. Listen to that. Blue and black. Ugly Jewish witch.
Ach, it's...
Fräulein Meyer has strong views.
She must have tricked him into marrying her, that Frau Glantanek. Mm. She has bugs in her flat.
Nee.
And she leases out her own bedroom for immoral purposes.
Which is a bit rich, given that one of the other lodgers, Fräulein Kost, brings her customers to the house on a regular basis and no one turns a hair.
Fräulein Kost pays the rent. And that Japanese client she has, yeah, he seems very fond of her. Yeah, she said to me once, Herr Ishiro, that all he ever wants to do is play the gramophone, eat chocolates, and laugh a lot.
How did she come to be doing that work?
Are you writing a book about my house, Herr Ishiro?
I might be.
Ein Buch? Oh, be sure you put in that I am a famous yodlerin.
I will. So, you were saying about Fräulein Kost.
Listen, he will kill her one day if she doesn't kill him first.
Yeah. Oh, now then, I will get us something to eat. A little bread and sausage, perhaps. Will you join us, Herr Ishiro?
Saved by the door from Fräulein Schroeder's horrible, slippery verst.
Hello, Chris. How are you? You're all trying.
Oh, be careful what you say to him, Bobby. He's writing a book about us.
Are you coming to the Tracker tonight?
I hadn't thought of it.
There's a new singer. She's good.
What's this?
She won't be a patch on you, Fräulein Meyer. No one could be for sure. Das ist sicher.
I am a Bavarian, Herr Ishibut. And I never forget an injury.
She sticks out her bulldog jaw. Her nude, fleshy arms ripple threateningly. Quite right, Fräulein Meyer.
Bobby works as a barman at the Troika. It's an arty, informal bar just off the Tauentzien.
Chris! Over here!
Hello, Fritz!
You're in for a treat.
Which is how I first see Sally.
And this girl is fantastic.
My diamond hat, fresh from England, on her way to stardom in Paris, New York, and Amsterdam. Please will you welcome our very own Miss Sally Bowles.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here at the King of such a marvelous audience. I'd like to sing you a little
I used to have a perfect sweetheart, not a real one, just a dream.
Didn't I tell you? Isn't she extraordinary?
She is indeed.
And doesn't she sing like an angel?
Exactly like an angel.
One truth and one lie. She is an extraordinary creature indeed. She wears a tuxedo, very skimpy, and a little black cap on the side of her head. Her face is powdered dead white. Her brown eyes are huge. Her nail varnish emerald green. Her mouth a gash of bright cherry red. The lie? Her singing is dreadful. Not remotely angelic. Oddly enough, her air of not caring what people think does make her performance quite striking. There is a lot of applause for her first song. Less when she sings in German.
I believe I'm falling in love with her.
You were in love with someone else last week, Fritz.
Before I met Sally.
Is she flirting with that gentleman over there?
She's only pretending, Chris. I mean, it's perfectly clear he'd much rather have a chat with our friend Bobby behind the bar. Here she comes.
Oh, Fritz, darling. Sweet of you to come.
Sally, you were wonderful.
Oh, darling, you do tell the most whopping lies.
I'd like you to meet my good friend, Mr. Isherwood. You can call him Chris.
Well, I'm simply enchanted to meet you. Fred's my liebling. Could you be an angel and get me a drink? I'm simply dying of thirst.
Of course, Sally. Kella!
You see that man there? He's the one I slept with last night. You know, he's an absolute genius at business and terribly rich, and he makes love marvelous.
Well, then, I can't imagine why you're sitting with us and not him.
Oh, Chris, you're too funny.
If you say so.
Chris is a writer, you know. He's had his first novel published already.
Oh, that's simply marvellous. I'd love to read it.
I haven't any copies with me, I'm afraid.
Oh, goodness. Is it that time already? I must dash.
But Sally, your drink!
I'm late already, Fritzel, darling. Chris, I will come and see you one day. For tea.
Oh, thank you. I'd like that very much. She doesn't hang about, does she?
That's just the way, Chris. I'm getting crazier about her every time I see her. Didn't I tell you she's a good looker?
You did.
You know, Chris, I think she took a fancy to you too.
October 1930. It's about a month after the 14th of September elections. I'm writing in my room, and suddenly I can hear a racket out on the street, on the Leipziger Straße.
What's happening?
There are many people, young men, demonstrating.
Against what?
Jews. Against the Jews. They're smashing windows and so.
Are the police doing anything about it?
Not yet, I think.
Fräulein Meyer is delighted.
Well, serves them right. This town is sick with them. You can't turn over a stone without one crawling out. Look at all the department stores. Wertheim, KDW, Landauers. Who owns them? Filthy thieving Jews.
The Landauers happen to be friends of mine, Fräulein Meyer.
Really, Herr Isherwood?
The daughter of the family is my new pupil.
Oh, such a fine family.
Jewish.
Still, a fine store.
And
she's from a fine family.
Have you bought it?
Have I brought what?
You know. What you promise.
I didn't promise anything.
Then I'm sorry. I can't help you.
I rather liked your idea for a new book, though.
You did?
I did. Help me to start.
How?
Tell me about yourself.
What about myself?
Anything. Your family. Whatever matters to you.
You know, it would be impossible that I have quarrel with my parents. Impossible. My father, he will always that I have the best of everything. My parents are rich and I do not worry for money. But I know how things are in Germany today, and suddenly it can be that my father lose all. But my father, he is such a man. He can start again with one pfennig and work until he gets it all back.
And you?
I wish to leave school and learn something useful. My father will always that I make my Abitur and go to university.
Of course.
But now I will speak with him and ask if I cannot go to Paris and study art. And cookery. Do you know? I cannot cook. Not the simplest thing.
Well, I can't cook either.
For a man, that is not so important. But a girl must be prepared. If I want, I shall live with the man I love. Even if we cannot become married, this will not matter. And then I must be able to do all things. It is not enough to say, I have made my abitur, I have my degree at the university. He will answer, please, where's my dinner? You are not shocked at what I just said now? That I would live with a man without that we were married?
Oh, hardly. This is Berlin, after all.
But I do not admire a woman who is going always from one man to another. That is all so degenerated. Degenerated, I find.
You don't think that women should be allowed to change their minds?
I don't know. But I find it degenerated.
As promised, Sally comes to tea and is utterly charming. Fräulein Schroeder falls under her spell.
Such a picture! So elegant! Oh, one can see that Miss Bowles comes from the very best society. I should never have expected you to find a lady friend like that, Herr Ishibu. You always seem so quiet.
Well, you know what they say, Fräulein Schroeder. It's often the quiet ones.
You are a naughty man, Herr Ishibu. Na, so naughty.
New Year's Eve. Sally Bowles has just moved in with us today. Fräulein Schroeder was in raptures about it. We have our Sylvester Arben dinner at the apartment with Fräulein Meyer, Sally, Bobby and me. It is a great success. Bobby flirts with Fräulein Schroeder. Fräulein Meyer tells stories. Sally tells a lot of lies about appearances at the Palladium and the London Coliseum.
And come on, Bobby, give it to me. I've got those little boys.
Then Sally sings.
Me heart's right down in me shoes. That's why each moment I lose is fruit.
Then Bobby and Sally and I go off to the Troika, where we meet Fritz and Klaus, the pianist who sometimes accompanies Sally when she sings. The place stinks like a zoo, and Fritz seems rather depressed. When I wake up, my bed is full of streamers.
You planned the whole thing.
Taking Fritz off to another table like that. He looked so cross. Oh, Klaus and I nearly died laughing.
I'm still in bed when Sally returns home.
I'm most terribly in love with him, you know.
And is he in love with you?
He adores me. He said it was love at first sight. I'm seeing him again at 4 o'clock.
Well, then, I better go and make you some eggs.
Oh, Chris, you are an angel. What would I do without you?
I lead a bit of a dissolute life with Sally and the Troika crowd. This is in stark contrast to my serious encounters with Natalia. She thinks I lack humour, so she takes me to a funny film, at which I laugh louder and longer than is strictly necessary. Then stop laughing altogether.
You see, I was right. You didn't like it.
I liked it very much.
Oh, yes, I believe you.
I did.
But you did not laugh, except false at the start.
No Englishman ever laughs when he's amused.
Then your Englishmen are mad.
That is not a very original remark, Natalia.
And must all my remarks be original, dear sir?
When you're with me, they must.
Imbecile. You never give your real meaning.
Why should I? Arguments bore me. I refuse to say anything that might provoke you to disagree.
Then shall we not talk at all?
I like to hear your voice, but I don't care in the least what you're saying. The best thing would be for us to make noises like farmyard animals. If we just said moo, woof woof, ban, meow.
Yes, I see. I understand.
I am being peevish. Why? I don't know. Natalia is confused and, I think, hurt.
When I arrive home, Alan Schroeder is hovering in the hall.
Oh, Herr Ishivu, I'm so glad you have come. Miss Bowles, I must go to her. Go on.
I walk into Sally's room. I see she's holding a letter.
Oh, Chris, darling. Here, you read it. Go on. I just can't talk about it.
Mein liebes, armes Kind, my poor, dear child. By the time you read this, I will be on my way to England, if not there already. I know that this letter is going to make you terribly unhappy. For me, very difficult and painful. Met a very beautiful and intelligent young English girl related to an English lord. Dear Sally, I have never met a girl who so completely understands my mind.
Oh, I must say, I'm surprised at that. Never thought the boy had a mind at all. Oh, I wish I could fall in love with you. Klaus isn't worth your little finger.
Of course he isn't.
But you're not really a man now, are you?
Oh, thanks very much.
Hey, you're so clever, Chris. I'm sure one day you'll write the most marvellous novel.
Oh, thank you, Sally.
And I'll become a great actress just to show that Klaus.
Fritz adores you.
Oh, but Fritz bores me to tears, darling.
That's not very kind.
Shall we go to the Troika and see if Bobby will sneak us a drink?
Has your allowance not come yet?
I think Daddy might have forgotten.
Surely not.
Mummy often threatens to stop it if I don't come back to England. And Daddy's business is in a poor way now, from the slump.
To Sally, the Great Depression is a sort of an irritation. Well, if you ever do really get into a mess, you're to tell me.
I wouldn't take any money from you. You're my friend.
Well, isn't Fritz your friend?
I suppose. Though he can be a bore. Oh, but he's got pots of cash.
But how do you know that I don't have pots of cash too?
You? I knew you were broke the moment I set eyes on you. Silly boy.
Natalia.
Yeah. You did not want to talk, you said.
So I did.
I bite very well, no?
You would make an excellent dog.
Now then, today I have a surprise for you. A very nice surprise. Today is coming my father and my cousin Bernard.
Oh, how very nice.
Yes. My father's often on travel. You shall like him, I think. Come in.
Herr Landauer. Small, lively man. Dark, wrinkled skin, thick, black eyebrows. Evidently adores his family. And when he opens the door for his large, pale, rather plain wife, he does so in a manner that suggests, in his eyes, she is a very beautiful young girl.
Ah, Mr. Isherwood. Natalia has told me much about you.
Herr Landauer.
Yeah.
And here is Natalia's cousin, Bernhard. Tall, pale, dark-suited, probably a few years older than me.
No place to meet you.
Much less of an accent than his uncle.
35 years ago, I was in England. I came to London to write a thesis for my doctorate on the conditions of Jewish workers in the East End of London. I saw much that your English officials wished me not to see. I was young then. I talked to dock hands and prostituted women and keepers of your published houses. Very interesting indeed.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And his thesis has been translated into 5 languages. You see, my father is a writer too.
No. Now I have not the time for such studies.
I sit and imagine how this sharp businessman could have been in London's East End, writing a thesis. Writing so determinedly.
But I have just been reading about your great poet, Lord Byron. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Isherwood, what do you think? What was Lord Byron guilty of incest?
I...
Mr. Isherwood,
I'm sorry?
No, no, it is an interesting question, is it not? Incest?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, and a difficult one.
Yeah. Well, should we allow that a man of genius may have special license, or no? Your dramatist Oscar Wilde, he is another case. What is your opinion, Mr. Isherwood? Was your English law right to punish him, or no?
Natalia, give Herr Isherwood some more sausage, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
As Natalia deals with the sausage, I'm aware that Bernhard has his eyes on his plate and is trying not to laugh. I am blushing. Natalia is no help at all.
I wish you would tell my father about this book that you are writing.
You know, I'd rather not, Natalia.
Then tell us something else about your work.
My last book was called All the Conspirators.
A crime story?
The title was taken from Julius Caesar, a quotation.
Very interesting, very interesting.
How many copies did it sell?
I've already told you, Natalia.
I have forgotten.
5 copies.
This is really few.
Yes. Yes, it is, alas, yes.
In German, we have wonderful translations of Shakespeare, have we not?
Among the finest works...
Bernhard has saved me.
Perhaps you would come one day to enliven my solitude.
He gives me his card.
You were red like a lobster.
He makes me feel old-fashioned. His talk is so modern.
You see, I was right. You were shocked, I'm so glad. You thought he might be a stupid old man.
I thought no such thing.
Well, he is not stupid. He's very clever. Bernhard is clever too. He's who manages the store. But he's strange.
In what way?
I don't know. He does not come often to our house. But he's really sarcastic. Be careful, he may laugh at you.
You laugh at me all the time.
Bernhard would laugh differently. How's the book? Please tell me. You are writing it?
Springtime in Berlin. Cafes putting up little platforms on the pavements. Ice cream shops opening. I find Bernhard's flat in a quiet street near the Tiergarten. A very suspicious janitor allows me through. 4 doors and 5 flights of stairs later, and I arrive at Bernhard's door. He is wearing an embroidered kimono over his town clothes. And the flat is full of Greek and Indo-Chinese artifacts.
Delicious. Why aren't you eating?
I'm having 3 courses. Bernhard eats only tomatoes and rusks.
Oh, I never really eat.
He looks exhausted. I wonder if he is ill.
You need not look so concerned, Christopher. It's just my way. So... are you happy here in Berlin?
Very happy.
That's wonderful. You must tell me your secret.
Well, it's a wonderful place. So free.
Free?
Well, compared to my environment in England.
Or most of the rest of Germany, I suppose.
Yes. No one wants to talk about politics, I find.
I don't blame them.
So you don't get involved in politics yourself?
I'm a businessman, so...
Well, even so. For instance, were you ever a communist?
I was always constitutionally incapable of bringing myself to the required pitch of enthusiasm.
Ever to put your faith in anything?
Perhaps that is not quite true.
Well?
Perhaps I believe in discipline.
Oh, really? How dull.
For myself. Not necessarily for others. Remember that I'm a crossbreed. Perhaps after all those one drop of pure Prussian blood in my polluted veins, perhaps this little finger is the finger of a Prussian drill sergeant. You, Christopher, with your centuries of Anglo-Saxon freedom behind you, with your centuries of Magna Carta engraved upon your heart, you cannot understand that we poor barbarians need a uniform to keep us standing upright.
You are a lot like your cousin in some ways.
Such as?
Discipline.
decidedness of your views.
Natalia is very young and makes up her mind from the safety of a sheltered life experience.
Whereas you are old and cynical.
I learned from living through the Civil War, perhaps.
I think there's more to Natalia than you might see.
Really?
Anyway, you both enjoy making fun of me.
Make fun of you, my dear Christopher? I wouldn't dare.
Spring makes it hard to stay indoors and work. Late nights and dramas with Sally don't help. So, to try and ambush myself into getting on with the book, and in the interests of research, I decide to bring my two closest women friends together. Natalia Landauer is to take tea with Sally Bowles. I wonder if I can call them friends.
How do I look?
You look very nice.
Tell me truthfully, please, what will your Miss Bowles think of me?
She'll like you very much.
How can you say that? You do not know.
And why did you ask?
Imbecile. I do not ask for compliments.
I don't understand what you want me to say.
Then I can't help you.
Hello! Hello! Oh, I'm terribly sorry, darling. I am awfully late, aren't I?
Miss Bowles.
Landauer. Oh, Landauer. You must forgive me. Only I've been making love to a dirty old Jew producer.
I kick her under the table.
Ouch! You're kicking me, Chris.
I kick her again. Natalia has gone very still.
Oh.
Then Sally understands. She's always too late, it seems.
Anyway, I'm hoping he'll give me a contract. But so far, no go. But he's terribly sweet.
Christopher. I wonder if you've seen Sur les Toits de Paris.
I have. Yes, I thought it was marvellous. And wasn't Réjean marvellous?
Yes, yes, I have. I thought
that I don't know what the French film industry is like, or the German for that matter, but you know, in England it's simply steaming hot.
Sally.
Steaming?
Well, you know, women getting parts because they're sleeping with this or that producer. They say everyone does it except the writers. Oh, poor Chris, you'll never have any fun.
Producers like your dirty old Jew? Anyway, I think perhaps I must leave now.
Must you already?
Yes.
I was very late arriving, wasn't I?
It does not matter.
When shall I see you again, Natalia?
I don't know. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I don't think she liked me very much, did she?
I do not like your Miss Bowles.
I know you don't.
What I think is not important?
Not at all important.
And your Miss Bowles is important?
Oh, very important.
You're an imbecile.
Well, thank you.
Someday you will see that I am right.
No doubt I shall.
You never say what you mean.
God forbid that I should ever say what I mean.
We continue our walk in silence and at her front door.
Perhaps you will ring me up one day, if your Miss Bowles permits.
I shall ring you very soon, Natalia.
Imbecile.
One day I telephone and they tell me she has gone away. Abroad. I spend a great deal of time in my room writing, now that Natalia is not here to nag me about it. But I realise I don't know what I'm doing. It doesn't seem like a book. It's more like a collection of impressions. It doesn't tell a story, not in the usual sense. And then the characters, either they seem innocent, like Natalia, or unthinking, like Sally, or easily swayed, like Fräulein Schroeder, who is beginning to sound more like Fräulein Meyer every day.
You want to stay away from those Jewish people of yours, hey, Shimon?
And not one of them appears to be willing or able to observe what's happening in this city. I mean, is there no one?
Herr Ishihu! Herr Ishihu, telephone! Herr Quick! Hurry up!
Where are we going, Bernhard? I wish you'd tell me.
It's a mystery.
I know already we aren't going to Moscow. We're driving in the opposite direction.
You're so English sometimes, Christopher.
Why would I not be? I am English. Maybe you bring out the English in me.
Now that you're sulking...
I'm not sulking.
We are going to a country cottage on the Wannsee. It used to belong to my father.
A country cottage?
I hope you won't find it too uncomfortable.
Is it very primitive?
I hope you won't find it so. We are nearly there.
We are driving along the side of a lake. Silhouettes of trees on one side of a long, private drive. And at the end... At the end, I see a large villa. The car stops, the front door opens, and a manservant in a striped jacket stands in the lit-up doorway.
Out you get, Christopher. Bringen Sie die Sachen nach oben, ja? Danke. Poor Christopher. You were hoping for the pleasure of sleeping on the floor among the black beetles, weren't you?
Very funny, I'm sure, Bernhard.
Let's get some fresh air. My father built this house in 1904. He wanted to make it like an English home because that was what my mother wished for.
Why did she want an English house?
Well, because she was English.
Really?
Yes.
You never said.
After dinner, we walk outside by the lake. There's almost no light. The night birds are calling. Water lapping against the little jetty.
When I was a boy, I used to come and stand out here at night and pretend I was the last human being alive. I thought the war would go on for 10 years or more. I was sure I'd be called up.
So you loved this house, did you?
Not so much, Dad. My elder brother had been killed right at the beginning of the war. At first, there was sympathy. Then, after a while, people forgot, and because my mother was English, they started to think we were spies.
I shiver a little, looking out onto the water. His words make me shiver.
Go on, Bernhard.
You will use this for your book, perhaps?
Not everything is for my book.
If you're a writer, everything is for your book.
Sometimes it's for the people you are with.
At school, the other boys were cruel. The more I wanted to be friends, the more they shut me out.
It must have been terrible to lose your brother.
You know, after my brother died, my mother changed completely. She never left this house and these grounds, and all she wanted to do was study.
What did she study?
Hebrew, Jewish history, and literature. Anything that was Jewish. She wanted to forget that a country such as Germany existed. Then we found out she had cancer. She feared an operation. She refused to see a doctor, and when the pain became very bad, she killed herself. Oh, it's too dark.
I think firelight is much nicer.
Do you? I thought you would prefer lamps.
Why?
I don't know. It's my idea of you. Would you like to listen to the wireless?
You don't have to entertain me, Bernard.
I was afraid you must be bored.
Well, I'm not.
I thought you must be wondering why I brought you here and why I told you all that. And
I'm just glad you told me.
But surely you're English. You don't speak of such things with your public school training. It's not good form, is it?
You should not make such assumptions.
There is something in you that I admire, and it draws me. Yet the same quality in you makes me feel like turning away too. Well, maybe I'm just making it all too complicated, all this ego. I have no right to talk to you like this. You must forgive me.
Bernhard,
I will put on the wireless. They are playing the last act of Die Meistersinger.
Yes, so they are.
You know, I brought you here as an experiment.
What do you mean?
Not on you, on myself. For 10 years, I have not spoken intimately to anyone as I have spoken to you tonight.
Why me?
Because you have nothing to do with this place or with my story, so I imagined you would not be oppressed by it. I thought perhaps I could lay ghost that way. Now you are thinking that you despise me.
No. As it happens, I'm thinking that you must despise me.
Good night, Christopher.
What I didn't say was that I was beginning to realize in all the time I have spent in Berlin, this was perhaps the first time I had felt real, connected, because of what he said. Even if it was an experiment.
You never say anything you mean, Christopher.
Natalia would say it serves me right.
One day you will see.
Oh, I miss Natalia. Her bossiness.
Our intention is to have a friendly talk on all matters which are of common interest to our own 22 countries. You in England know as well as we do that Europe is today facing problems of immense difficulty and of vital importance to all of us. I need hardly say that the chief...
It is becoming harder to ignore the unrest in the streets. Fräulein Meyer grumbles about the Jews, and increasingly Fräulein Schroeder joins in. I tell them I have friends who are Jews, and they dismiss me because I don't count. Sally behaves as if nothing at all is going on.
I may go to Frankfurt quite soon.
Have you got a job there?
Not exactly. I'm going for a rest.
Oh. Have you told Fräulein Schroeder?
Oh, yes. She was most frightfully upset. Honestly, I can't stand the way she fusses over me.
You know, I think I'm going to leave Berlin for a while too.
Who will you go with?
Fritz told me about some friend of his who goes to Rügen Island every year. In her usual way, Sally has stopped listening to me. There are 4 million unemployed in Germany. Even Berlin is not immune to the feeling of mounting fear, of powerlessness. I need to get away. Though I do so with some regret at leaving Bernhard. So what if his experiment seems a strange way to treat a friend? I must be tolerant. Tolerant of his attempts to get beyond his own story. I'm up early, sitting on the veranda in my pajamas. The wood casts long shadows over the fields. Birds call. A man is watching his horse graze on a patch of grass by the path. He's trying to disentangle the horse's hoof from its tether rope, and he pushes the horse, but it won't budge. Another man comes along on a bicycle and shouts to the man with the horse. His voice rings out, quite clear in the stillness of the morning. A cock crows. Yeah, I think I can hear the sea. Or perhaps it's very distant bells. In this lodging house, there are two other people. Werner, Fritz's acquaintance, from a well-to-do German family. He's about my age. His companion and lover is Otto, a young working-class boy from Berlin. Werner and I got tight and made friends on the first evening. He is dark, nervous, wears horn-rimmed glasses, and when he's excited, he digs his hands between his knees and clenches them together, trembling with suppressed laughter. Otto has a face like a ripe peach. His hair is fair, grows long on his forehead, his eyes are small. Werner is thin, wiry. He is all head. Otto, he is all body.
Christoph, see, I can do it. All 5 strands.
I go into their bedroom to find Otto playing with a chest expander Werner has given him.
Oh, my word, you are very strong, Otto.
And outrageously vain. His little buttocks look absurd relative to his upper body, and his legs spindly and immature.
Where's Werner?
I think he's reading on the veranda.
I want to go to the Kurhaus to dance tonight. I don't know what he will say.
I think you do, Otto.
Well, I'm going anyway.
After Otto goes out, Werner and I sit upstairs in my cold room, listening to the pattering of rain on the window.
I thought it couldn't last. This is the beginning of the end.
It's perfectly natural Otto should want to dance sometime.
He'll be after that girl.
Which girl?
The teacher who comes to the beach with a tribe of schoolchildren always in tow.
He probably won't be able to get to her then for the children.
The children won't be at the dance, though, will they?
Listen, he'll come back more readily if you can be a bit less possessive.
I know.
To my surprise, Otto comes home before 10.
I'm not going there again. It was so dull, and the band was very poor. I'd rather stay with you, Werner, and with Christoph. Is there anything to eat?
Werner tries to hide his smug delight, but I can see it, and Otto fully understands and intends the effect. Ah, it's interesting. He has a keen instinct for manipulation. On the beach, we meet a little fair-haired man with ferrety blue eyes and a small moustache. He asks us to play ball with him, and now we can't shake him off. Oh, God. He's followed us into the cafe.
If I may join you for a drink?
Please do.
Yeah.
I really don't like the ferret. I wish he'd go away, but Otto is always over-eager about strangers.
So, you are from where exactly?
Werner doesn't like him either.
I am a surgeon in a hospital in Berlin.
Oh. I can see you are a real sportsman.
Thank you. Your friend is not.
You mean me?
You hold yourself so stiff, that is wrong. You must relax.
You ought to take up sport, Werner, then you'd have a figure like the doctor has. Yes.
The small boy is marching up and down along the street outside, waving a swastika flag and singing Deutschland über alles.
The young people around here are simply magnificent. You really ought to come around to the other beach. I could show you some nice girls.
Do you hear that, Werner?
Yeah.
Their physique. I appreciate them, you know, as a doctor. The other day I was over at Hiddensee. Nothing but Jews. It's a pleasure to get back here and see Nordic tides.
Let's go to the other beach tomorrow. Yeah.
You go if you like.
By the evening, Werner is in a thoroughly bad mood.
You'd better go off with your doctor then if you like him so much.
He hasn't asked me to. Yet.
The atmosphere is unsettling, even when they're not actually fighting. To think I came here, away from the city, so I could write in peace and quiet. Otto goes to the Kurhaus and doesn't return till gone 2 in the morning.
You know very well why.
I don't know and I don't care. You shouldn't make such a fuss.
Stupid little swine.
Is that the best you can do? Tomorrow I'm going back to Berlin.
Otto! Otto, come back here!
Leave me alone! I'm sick to death of you!
The next morning, I leave them to it and go off by myself. I have the bad fortune to run into the ferret again in the bar.
Your friend Otto tells me there's no point talking to you about Jews because you are a communist.
Does he?
You can't be a communist. That's what I told him.
I'm really being unfair to ferrets.
Can I not?
Communism is a hallucination. There's no such thing. It's a mental disease. What people need is discipline, self-control.
You know, I have a good friend who would agree with you.
He's a wise man, then.
He is Jewish.
What?
Ha. Back in the house, things seem more peaceful. Then the teacher comes and starts walking up and down the lane in front of the house.
She will soon get bored. I'm not going down to her.
Did you enjoy your walk, Christopher?
Hardly. I ran into the doctor.
Oh, bad luck.
Well, I like the doctor.
Yeah. I think your teacher is trying to keep your attention.
Otto!
Was machst du denn da?
Kommst du?
Ich komme nirgendwo hin mit dir.
Otto, kommst du?
Hau ab, verpiss dich, komm, verschwinde!
stupid girl. Pestering me to dance every time I go near the courthouse.
I think you might have said goodbye to her more politely than that.
What's the use of those girls?
The truce doesn't last. In no time, Otto is bargaining for an evening out on his own, and it is left to me to keep Werner company.
Look at them. They're all Nazis in this place.
We favor a cafe in the nearby village of Barber. The Nazi youths like to come in and tell us about their field exercises and military games.
So you are preparing for war?
Oh, but excuse me, sir. You are quite wrong. The Führer does not want war.
Oh, really? You know the mind of Hitler, do you?
Our program stands for peace with honor.
Really?
All the same, war can be fine, can't it? Think of the ancient Greeks.
Well, the ancient Greeks didn't use poison gas.
That is a purely academic question. Good day.
Good day.
I wonder how much longer this will carry on.
Oh, the Nazi fun and games, you mean?
Of course I don't mean that.
Of course you don't.
You know, he would leave me if I stopped giving him money.
And then what would happen?
I don't know.
Do you still care for him?
No. Yes. I don't know. Perhaps. I often hate him. I suppose that's caring in a way. What do you advise me to do?
Do what would make you happy.
That's a joke.
Really?
You know, I was seeing a psychiatrist before I met Otto, don't you?
You did mention it.
I was paying a fortune. Otto thought it was outrageous. He told me if I was going to pay some stranger 15 marks a day so I could talk about things, then I should try talking to him instead and he wouldn't charge.
I'm sorry.
It isn't funny.
It is.
I don't see why.
He's right, isn't he?
What do you mean?
Otto might not be much of an intellectual, but I'm sorry, he has an instinct. He can get you out of your moods when he puts his mind to it.
You're no help, Chris.
Then there are other things going on in the world. Give him a nice present. Send him back to Berlin. Say goodbye.
I can't.
You don't want to.
I know I'm being weak. It seems funny to think of it now. But when I first met Otto, I thought we could be together for the rest of our lives.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go and see what he's up to. When we get back, the landlord is waiting with a message from Otto. He has left for Berlin.
Dear Werner,
on the table a note.
Please forgive me. I couldn't stand it any longer here, so I'm going home. Love from Otto. Don't be angry.
Everything in their bedroom is in total disarray. Every drawer is open, every cupboard. Clothes are strewn everywhere.
He hasn't taken much. My ties, some shirts, about 200 marks. It's lucky my shoes don't fit him.
Having recovered from this rather hysterical outburst, Werner tells me he will also leave in the morning. And when I get back to my room,
please, dear
Christian, I find another note from Otto.
Don't you be angry with me too, because you aren't an idiot like Werner. When you are back in Berlin, I shall come and see you because I know where you live. I saw the address on one of your letters, and we can have a nice talk. Your loving friend, Otto.
I had thought I would stay on after they left, but I find the house strangely quiet without their constant bickering. And now that Otto is gone, the girls don't linger under the windows of the house anymore. It's time to go back to Berlin. Thinking about Otto on the journey home, I remember the conversation I had with the weaselly doctor in the bar.
And your young friend, Otto?
He is more Werner's friend, really.
Yes, yes. My work in the clinic has taught me that it is no good trying to help this type of boy.
Oh, really? What sort of clinic is that, I wonder?
He will always revert. He's very interesting from a scientific point of view, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes, he has a criminal head.
Sorry, you mean you think people with criminal heads should just be left to become criminals?
Of course not. As I said, I believe in discipline. I know this type of boy so well. It is a bad, degenerate type. You cannot make anything out of those boys. Their tonsils are invariably diseased.
Suddenly, I have to open the window in the train to let in some air.
What would you do with them, then?
Send them to labor camps, of course.
Christopher Isherwood was played by James Norton. Natalia Landauer by Nicola Schössler. Fräulein Schröder, Sally Bowles, by Leslie Malton. Fräulein Meyer by Julia Retschnick. Herr Landauer, Matthias Horn. Bernhard Landauer by André Kaczmarczyk. Otto Nowak by Tilmar Kuhn. The pianist was Paulette Schmidt. Goodbye to Berlin by Christopher Isherwood was dramatized by Tina Pepler. It was produced in Berlin by Polly Thomas and was a Something Else production for BBC Radio 4.
Final episode of Goodbye to Berlin next Sunday afternoon at 3.
In October, You and Yours is 40 years old.
In this shop, phones are the only goods on sale. You try them out, and if you're a first-time buyer, there's no waiting in a post office queue.
Back in 1970, the phone was certainly attached to the wall. There was no suggestion that you could be cordless and wander around the room at the time. And you take it forward 40 years and you think what's actually happened to the telephone. That is just one example of something that has changed almost beyond recognition.
Celebrating 40 years of You and Yours, starting tomorrow, just after midday.